You know, you've got to decree some things by faith. Faith decrees the outcome before we see it. This is what faith does. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when things are going on in your home and your finances and your body, you begin to, by faith, decree that I have this. You know, I was reading an entry I read every day, something by on faith and healing. And I remember I was just reading yesterday, Brother Hagin was sharing something about how less than a month after Jesus had appeared to him, and he said he put the finger of his right hand in each one of the palm of his hands, and he said they started to burn like coal. And he said, I've anointed you with a special anointing. You know, we're all anointed to lay hands on the sick, but he said, I've anointed you with a special anointing. And he said, when you put your hand on the back of a person and on their chest, he said, if that fire goes from hand to hand, there's demon influence there. And he said, you're to cast the devil out of that person. Now, that doesn't mean they have a devil, but sometimes, you know, worry can open the door to the devil, open the door in your life, and you could be oppressed by something and you never realized it. So he was sharing this story how this man came and he wanted healing, and he said his spine had a problem and he couldn't bend over. And he said he put his hand on his chest and he put his hand on his back, and he said that fire went from hand to hand. He said he knew there was some kind of demon oppression. So he said, I command thee, Satan, to leave this body. And then he said, this is what Brother Hagin said, I missed it. He said, I said to the man, see if you can bend over. Oh, no. So he said he did that twice. And he went back to the pulpit wondering why. He said nothing happened. And he said he's standing at the pulpit and Jesus appeared to him. He said he appeared to him. He said nobody saw him. I saw him. It was an open vision. And he said that Jesus took his finger and pointed it right at his nose, right? And he said, I said that when you laid hands upon the sick, they are healed. He said, I said they're healed. And then he said this. Yeah, but Lord, I did it and it didn't work. He said, Jesus took his finger, put it right next to his nose, and he said, I said they're healed. So sometimes, and then he said, I got it. And he said he went back and he called the man up, put his hand on his chest, put his hand on his back, and he said, that fire began to jump from hand to hand. And he said, I commanded that demon to leave his body. And he said, he told the man, bend over and touch your toes. And he said, the man went over, boom, touched his toes, all the symptoms left. But he said, I missed it because I was in doubt. And he said, isn't that the same? And he pointed out in Luke, he said, isn't that the same thing that happened? I believe it's Luke 17, where they brought the boy that had the devil, and he said, I brought it to your disciples, but they couldn't cast him out. But Jesus in Luke 10 had already anointed them to do what? Heal all sick and cast out all demons. But why what happened? They doubted. So he said, I missed it. And so he was just sharing that in a daily entry. So when we decree something, we have to decree it from a place of faith that my symptoms, my outer symptoms, has nothing to do with what I decree in faith in the name of Jesus. So when we decree this COVID coronavirus is dead in the name of Jesus, it diminishes and leaves, then it's by faith. And we don't have to just keep talking, oh, I wonder what's going on, this and the other thing, right? We decree it by faith. Well, I'm going to jump into this message that had nothing to do with it, but I just thought we'd just share it. speaking on this couple of messages that I've done on faith overcomes impossibilities. One of the things that, you know, I was sharing before is that there's a number of things that we face in life that we can't change. It's not possible. You know, sometimes, you know, you could be somebody that's looking to go get a job and somebody says, you'll never get that job. Well, if God has put it on your heart, you'll get that job. It could be somebody going for application, going to school. You know, you'll never get that position. You'll never get into that school. But if that's on your heart, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So if it's something that you desire, then you'll have it. But the things that are impossible for us are possible with God. But I'm thinking on this particular scripture, you know, every day we have to make choices and decisions, and those things, we come to us and we have thoughts and we have to make choices. But God's word says in Isaiah 55:8, what does he say? My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bud, and forth maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So God's word is not void or empty. It will produce for those who do what? Believe it and receive it. Get it planted in their heart. Water it. Don't tread on it. Receive it. Let it grow, and it'll produce. Amen? Just like a seed in the ground. You put it in the ground, you water it, you nurture it. It's going to produce the fruit that it's intended to. Same with God's word. You know, you want healing in your body. You want finances to increase. You begin to feed on the word of God and keep meditating upon it. Keep watering it. And it will produce. It'll produce peace. It'll produce joy. It'll produce love. You want more love to operate in your... Yes, we have to walk in love. We have to... But you know what? God gives us the ability to love when we don't want to love. He gives us the ability to have to exercise joy when we don't have any. You know, joy is not just being happy. Joy is supernatural. Joy releases supernatural, and it's full of glory. Hallelujah. So God gives us the ability to do some things, and if we just yield to him, he'll work in us. So one thing that I wanted to just point out in Isaiah 53, it says, who hath believed our report? And the Passion Translation says, who's truly believed our revelation? Because his report is revelation. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Glory to God. So I wanted to pick up today, and let's take a look at, been looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, talking about the spirit of faith. You know, faith is about principles, but the spirit of faith. Isn't it interesting how the Holy Ghost had Paul write this? He didn't just say, we having faith. He said, we having the same, what? Spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. And One of the things that got me to thinking about this over the past couple of weeks is that when you talk about the spirit of faith, you know, when you do team sports, you know, when you have team sports, you know, what do they always talk about? Team spirit. And there's, when you talk about team spirit, you're talking about, sometimes you hear this, the esprit de corps. You talk about camaraderie. You talk about a goal or a purpose. So there's a spirit of faith. When I talk about spirit of faith, we're talking about an attitude. We're talking about something, a goal or a purpose. You take a basketball team, a football team, you take a soccer team, any of them. I went out and I looked at this, it says about the term spirit, team spirit. It says the capacity of people to maintain belief in an institution or a goal, or even in oneself or others. So the synonym would be like confidence, optimism, assurance, as I said, esprit de corps. It's a bond or unity or agreement between individuals or group. That would be the team spirit, right? So we're not talking about principles. You know, you have principles that you learn to play the sport. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the same thing with faith. When it says, we having the same spirit of faith, he didn't say, we having faith. He said, the spirit of faith. That's a little different. And so when we talk about the spirit of faith, that's something that you catch. That's something that you have, just like a team spirit. This is the spirit of faith that somebody has. This is an attitude, a confidence. And yes, faith does that, but you have a spirit of faith which says nothing's impossible. It's possible with God. Nothing is impossible, because I'm going to overcome this. I'm going through. Even when it looks impossible, the person with the spirit of faith says, we're going through. We're going to go. We're going to do that. That's an attitude. That's a spirit of faith. That's something that you catch. And I would say this, that you catch the spirit of faith by being around others with the spirit of faith. You know, you hang around enough people that are negative. How many people like hanging around negative people? That's what I thought. Nobody really does. I mean, we come in contact with negative people, but you know, if you hang around people who are negative long enough, you become what? Negative. You catch the spirit of that, don't you? You catch the aura of that, or you, some people in the natural today, they say the vibe, right? You catch the vibe of that. Well, you hang around people long enough that are negative, you become negative. And it's no different if you hang around people that are positive, and it begins to rub off on you. I mean, there's scripture that says, watch who you associate with. So the more you are around the spirit, people with the spirit of faith, you will begin to catch that. You'll begin to have the spirit of faith. We're not talking about principles of faith, just like, you know, not the same, but you understand similarly. If you were going to play basketball, you learn the principles, the rules, you learn how to play basketball. But then there's the spirit of that, the team spirit. Same with faith. Faith, there's a supernatural spirit of faith that comes. And yes, we learn faith and we exercise faith, but there's a spirit of faith. And that's what Paul is saying here. We also believe and therefore speak. So faith is what? Voice activated. So when we say faith that's not spoken is really dead faith, because you're going to ultimately, God designed man, look at Genesis 1, verse 1 and verse 27. It says, God made man in his image and likeness. What did God do in chapter 1 of Genesis? He spoke things into existence. So the same thing, God made us to speak. And so we will speak those things that are where? In our hearts. So what we believe, we ultimately are supposed to speak. Not just think about it, but speak it. So the spirit of faith enables you to face storms in life and overcome. And that's what we're attempting here to share. Let me share something that this author wrote, F.F. Bosworth. He wrote Christ the Healer, and he lived back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And he wrote this, he said, "A spiritual law that few recognize is that our confession rules us. It is what we confess with our lips that really dominates our inner being." So what you confess will begin to dominate you, dominate your thinking, dominate your choices, because what you speak will become, well, actually what you think will get down in your heart, and what gets down in your heart, you'll speak. And what you speak will direct your choices. It'll begin to influence your choices. So nothing, it continues, nothing will be established, nothing will establish you and build your faith as quickly as confession. The confession of your lips that has grown out of faith in your heart will absolutely defeat the adversary in every combat. God can be no bigger in you than you confess him to be. So God is as big as you believe him to be. He's all powerful, but if he's not all powerful for you and in your life, then he won't be. So some of the things, as I was sharing before, are not possible in the natural for a man to change, but with God, all things are possible. Mary said that. For with God, you know, she said to the angel, she spoke when he said, you know, "Blessed art thou among women." And he said that you'll be the mother of Christ. And we see that from in Luke 1. He said, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." And I like some of the other translations. The Passion Translation says, "Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God." Luke 18:27, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." So God has made it possible for us to overcome. You know, I was thinking about something, and this word came up in my heart, and I'm going to try to tie it in today into what we're sharing. But this word perfect came up in my heart. You know, God has made it so that we can walk perfect in this earth. Does it mean without mistakes? No. But it'd be interesting, you ought to run a reference on that word perfect. It's throughout, and I'll share a few because it got me excited last night, and I was looking at that particular scripture verse, Psalm 37 and 37. It says, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. And Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 in the New Testament, it says, and we're familiar with this, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto" what? "A perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So God's intention is that we walk as a mature man. That's what really perfect means. It means a person that's come to full age, mature. So God's intention is that we grow up and we walk in a mature state, that we grow up. And how are we going to do that? Here, it says here, these offices were given and will stay in force until Jesus comes. But this says here, for what? The perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry or their ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till or until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto or resulting in a perfect man, a mature man. So you can, you know, those kind of scriptures. Here's another scripture that'll make you think here. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. This is Paul. Think about Paul. He's anointed by the Holy Ghost, and God revealed to him the adversities and persecutions that he would face. Now he's basically complaining to God. Look what it says here. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made what? Perfect in what? Weakness. And then what was Paul's response? Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Hallelujah. So you can see here, here's another scripture verse, another verse that comes to mind. I didn't have it written down, but let me, because I read it every day, 1 Corinthians 13. Here's another verse. 1 Corinthians 13. And verse 10. See, if God didn't want us to become perfect or mature, he wouldn't have put it in there. And if he wants us to, guess what? It's possible. And so for us, when we look at it and go, how could I ever do that? How could I reach that level of perfection? Well, God says he desires it. What things? So you have to desire. I'm going to desire what he desires. But look what verse 10 says in 1 Corinthians. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be what? Done away. Oh. So the things that we operate in, when perfection comes, we put away the thing. You know, when you grow up, think about it. When you became a man or a grown-up man or a grown-up woman in the natural, you put away, isn't that what this, and here it says here, when I was a child in 11, I spake as a child. Well, we all did at some point, right? I thought as a child, but when I became a man, a person who's mature, that's what he's really, the thought continues. I did what? I put away childish things. I put away childish thinking. I put away childish actions. I look at things differently, don't I? I look at things the way God sees them. I look at things as an overcomer. I look at things with a spirit of faith. I'm not defeated. I'm an overcomer. And I look at it, you know, if you're a child and you face things, what do children do? Tell me what children do when they face problems. They whine, right? I heard Mark Hankin say this. He said, the spirit of faith will take the whine out of your voice. I like the way he puts that. He said, it'll take the whine out of your voice. You'll grow up. The spirit of faith will cause you to grow up and walk mature. And not whine at everything, right? And complain. I mean, think about it. If Jesus didn't want us to walk mature as a perfect man, I'll give you one more scripture and then we'll move on. I didn't mean to get sidetracked here, but it just came up in my heart. And I, 1 John chapter 2, this is a familiar scripture verse. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5 and 6. I'll wait till you get there because this is God speaking to us by His Spirit. He wants us to walk as mature, Spirit of faith men and women. And 1 John 2, it says, "But whoso what? Keepeth His word." Ah, see, isn't that what we just tied in with Ephesians chapter 4? That those apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher are there to do what? To teach and to train so that we can become perfect, mature in the things of God. He said, "Whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God," what? "Perfected." Ah, is that word perfect? And it's the same Greek word. It means to come to an end, to full maturity. So how are we going to come to the place of being perfected? Keeping His word. Hearing it, obeying it, and keeping it. That means in all areas of our life. That means walking in love. That means, you know, approaching things. That means because the first commandment is walking in love. But let me continue. He said, "Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked." Oh, yes, sir. How did He walk? He walked as a man, but the Son of God, the Son of Man, that's how He walked. But He said, we're to walk that way. How did He walk? He walked as a person with the spirit of faith. He walked in love, didn't He? So are we. And He's telling us we can do that. We can walk as a perfect man. How is that? That means somebody who comes to completion or somebody who grows up, somebody who's maturing. How do we do that? He said here, keeping His word. The love of God is perfected in you. Well, and it says, the love of God is perfected in us. Oh, yes, sir. How does faith work? Galatians 5, 6. Faith works by love. If the love of God is not perfected in you, your faith is not going to be very small. So we need to think about that when we talk about faith and we talk about love. We want to become perfect. And that word perfect doesn't mean without mistakes. No, that's not what that's talking about. But I'll guarantee you, the more the love of God and the Word of God is perfected in you, the less you will make mistakes. Because the Holy Ghost will say, no, don't do that. Don't think that way. Don't act that way. Don't operate. Don't speak that way. So you're going to miss it less and less. Isn't that true? Absolutely. Glory to God. So I want you to turn over to James chapter 1 and verse 2. James 1, 2. And I was in this scripture verse, but I want to go back to it again. James chapter 1 and 2, and we'll just stay here for a few minutes. Trust you're getting a little something here this morning, something to feed on. James chapter 1 and verse 2 through 4 in the King James, and I'm going to read it from the New Living and the Passion Translation. But it says, "My brethren, count it all joy." Didn't say it was joy. It said, "Count it all joy when you fall into." That word, "when you fall into," means you're surrounded by. That's all that word is. When you look it up in that Greek set of words, it means when you fall into, or you're not. Well, so it means encompassed. I'm sorry. That's what it says. When you fall into, it means you're encompassed about. That's what that means. Divers just means many or various. Temptations, it means adversity. So this means when we're encompassed about with adversity and situations in life, what are we supposed to do? Count it all joy. What does it go down in verse 3? Knowing this. This word knowing means an intimate knowledge. It means something that you have an understanding, something you've become acquainted with. Well, it says knowing this, that means you've experienced this. You have some knowledge, some intimate knowledge of this. That what? The trying of your faith worketh what? Patience or endurance. But let patience have her what? Perfect work. That word perfect again. See, the same Greek word. It just means it's let patience have her perfect work. It means to come to its full end, finished, that which is perfect. It means mature, come to a full age. So this is saying here that when stuff is going on, when I'm encompassed about and I've got all of these issues going on, I'm to do what? Count it all joy and let faith work patience. Because when you throw the towel in, see, so many people, that's what happens. I've had enough of this. People go on jobs. They go, I ain't taking this. I'm going to another place. So what did they do? They didn't let something work in them. They didn't let steadfastness work. They didn't let endurance work. Same thing. People give up because of health reasons. People give up because of money reasons. They just do what? They give up. They didn't let their words, they didn't let the spirit of faith continue to work in that situation. They didn't let their voice keep speaking words of faith. They began to look just like Peter when he got out of the boat. Jesus said, come. And what happened? He began to sink. Well, you can tell what happened. He must have got over in doubt and it affected his faith. He began to look at the circumstances. So for us, when we're encompassed about, as it says here, with many temptations or adversity, it says, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience or endurance. But let patience have its perfect work. Let it work. Let it come to its full end or full age, a maturity, because why? Why are we doing that? That you may be what? Perfect. There's that word again. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That word perfect means so that you may be perfect. That means you come to maturity. You're not, you know, as they say, like Mark Hankin said, you get the whine out of your voice. I don't like this. No, you stand up and you say, I'm going through this. Just like Jesus pointed at Brother Hagin and said, I said this is what's going to happen. Same thing. I say that we're prosperous. I say my body is healed. I say my bank accounts are full. I say that whatever I set my hands to is blessed. I say that. Because I believe that. There were some things that I decreed last year over the ministry and some things that we were walking through. Man, we're walking in the fruit of it now. But I'll tell you, when we started walking through, it wasn't there. But I got up and I said to Pastor Greg, I said, we're having this. We are going to do this and have this. And I was determined. I said, nope, we're having this. And you need to make those kind of faith determinations. Like Brother Hagin said, set your goals high. I'd rather set them high and get the half of them than set them to nothing and get them all. So begin to let faith have its perfect work in you. Let patience and faith work in you. Let it work in you. Yeah, it's uncomfortable to the flesh, to the mind. But boy, don't we all like the fruit of full maturity. You know, Brother Hagin said this at the end of his life. You know, when I say the end of his life, in 60 plus years in ministry, he said this to a bunch of ministers. He said, "Do you know why I'm so steady at this time of my life?" He said, "Because I had to suffer a lot, suffer things." And what did he mean by that? He didn't mean sickness and disease. He meant opposition. He meant being encompassed with issues. He said, it caused patience and endurance to do what? Work. So that you're what? Steadfast. You're steady. You're not moved about with all of these issues. You go, no, we're going through. We're going through. I like what Pastor Hagin said, his son. I will not be defeated and I will not quit. You know, sometimes when your flesh and your mind is like, you know, we all get there. We live in these bodies. And your mind will start talking. You need to get up and say, I will not be defeated and I will not quit. I'm going over. And you just need to say it by faith. And not meditate on the problem. Let me read this in the New Living Translation, James 1 and verse 2 through 4. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way," I like this, "consider it an opportunity for great joy." Boy, I like that. It doesn't say count it all joy. It says count it all joy in the King James. This says consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. This is the New Living. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, I like the way this reads, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Boy, that's good. You know what that means? Needing nothing means I've allowed my faith to work. I've allowed my joy to work. I've allowed my patience to work, my long-suffering to work. And so I've let the fruit of the Spirit work in me. Listen to this in the Amplified. It says, "Consider it holy," W-H-O-L-L-Y, "holy, joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing." I don't know about you, but I know you do. You want that. Lacking in nothing. Lacking in nothing spiritual. Lacking in these spiritual gifts that are in your heart. And let me read this. This is in the Passion Translation. "My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things." What does it do? It stirs up power within you so that you can endure all things. "And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection." Oh boy, I like this. "Into every part of your being until there is nothing missing, nothing lacking." Oh boy. Let me read that again. "As your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. That's the Passion Translation. So what are we saying? We're saying that when we're encompassed about with issues in life, all kinds of stuff, everybody's got various stuff going on today, and especially today. You know, what happened to Paul and Silas? They began to do what? They began to praise God in the middle of that issue, and it caused what? An earthquake got them out, set them, opened those prison doors. And so the same thing, there may be in people's lives, people you interact with, that are facing what we call insurmountable or impossible situations. Well, what are we supposed to do? Trust God and believe God and speak by faith that God, you know, one of the things that speak by faith, what am I saying? I just had a thought that if you're a tither, let's turn over here for, I don't mean to get sidetracked here, but go to Malachi chapter 3. You know, we're talking Old Testament, but you know, God redeemed us from the curses. He didn't redeem us from the blessings. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 and 11. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not do what? Open you the windows of heaven, and pour or empty out blessings, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And what does verse 11 say? And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy or corrupt the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before its time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. So we need to decree what the word of the Lord says. Whether it's your health, whether it's your finances, you know, many people have lost their jobs during this pandemic. And we thank God for what the government can do for individuals and help them. We thank God for that. But they're not our source. And if you're a tither, what does that mean? You tithe, you provide, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse. Bring 10% of what you made. If you got a dollar, you bring 10 cents in. It's not what you give, it's bringing the tithe into the storehouse. So if you do that, he said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake because you're a tither. You begin to decree those things. You begin to decree that Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. You begin to operate in the love of God, walk in the love of God, and you will become perfected. You will become mature and of full age. And that's exciting to me. We need not back down, back off, back away, but we need to proclaim and decree faith and a spirit of faith that I'm overcoming, I'm going through, and everything that God has promised is mine. In the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, it's exciting to me and excites me that this spirit of faith, we believe and do what? Therefore, speak. So this spirit of faith that comes as a byproduct of, you know, this is by the Holy Ghost. Faith is spiritual. Faith is not just something off the, you know, it's not logos. This is dunamis power, faith power. And so when we release faith from our lips, from our heart, it's going to change things. And we need to decree those things. And as the Holy Ghost just had directed me earlier, we desire to become what? Perfected. Or a perfect man. Becoming a perfect man. That means growing up in faith, growing up in love. And how do we do that? It says we're perfected by the ministry gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And also we're perfected in the love of God by what? Obeying the word of God. So praise God. Praise God. But next time, you know, if you're in the middle of a storm, count it all joy. That's what it says. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or you're surrounded or encompassed by all kinds of stuff going on. It says, knowing this, what? That the trying of your faith worketh patience or endurance. Amen. But let patience have its perfect work so that you can be complete, entire, wanting nothing. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that we are endeavoring with all that's within us to let patience have its perfect work in each one of us. And we thank you, Father, that we are becoming complete and entire, wanting nothing. And we thank you that we are growing up spiritually. Thank you that we are growing up to the place of becoming useful to you in a more useful manner. And we thank you, Father, that we can become a light in this dark world that we live in, Father. And we thank you for it, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.